Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
In Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." I'm probably going to stop it during some of this reading and just feed you some thoughts. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we would think of ourselves the way God does? Now, I don't know that she's ever had an angel show up in her living room or bedroom before. And I don't know if anybody's ever talked to her about how much God loves her before. But here comes an angel that drops down in this little girl's room, completely unknown to us until this story. No different than the other thousands of young Jewish girls in Israel at that time. And this angel says, "You are highly favored. The Lord is with you, and blessed art thou among women." Boy, if we could get that revelation today and could begin to look at ourselves, not to give ourselves a reputation or to give us the big head, but to understand that God loves you and that God thinks highly of you and that he thought so much of you that he would lay down his life for you. You know, a lot of sacrifice. They sing a lot of songs this time of year about him stepping out of heaven and into this world. And then around Easter, we'll be singing about him stepping out of the tomb and heading back. But one day he's coming to get us all. Looking forward to that. So Mary sees him. I want you to just try to picture this scene, how Mary maybe awakened during the night, or maybe she was out during the middle of the day. I don't know, but she was troubled at this saying, and she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. So the angel says, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." You know, whenever God gets ready to move in your life, there's something going to be born. Something's going to be birthed. Something new's coming into your life, and it's going to be something powerful. "He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And then he begins to tell about something miraculous. "And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren." Already changing people's lives. "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Not only did Mary have a purpose, but Elizabeth has a purpose. And let me tell you something today, we all have a purpose. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. I will tell you with that statement there, we need to believe and embrace the plan of God for our life. Why is it so hard for us to accept that we shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon us, and we shall be witnesses unto him to the othermost parts of the earth? He birthed something in us. I'm about there. When we jump down a few verses to verse 43, Mary has come to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth says, "And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." If God said it, God will do it. I'm going to stop right there for now, and I want to just preach to you for just a moment and encourage you with this thought: made for this moment. Made for this moment. Look at your neighbor and tell them, say, "You were made for this moment." Turn around and tell the other one, "You were made for this moment." And now tell yourself, "I was made for this moment." Now clap your hands to the Lord and give him some praise in the house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Several weeks ago, I was thinking of this story and something, it just came to me. Mary was made for this moment. But why? Why Mary? Out of the thousands of young women, as we said earlier, that were in Israel at that time and that lived in Bethlehem, that lived in Judea, that were there, why now? She was from Galilee, Nazareth. There were many other young ladies there. Why Mary? It wasn't because she was rich. It doesn't say anything about her social status or education. In fact, he tells her this, and it really kind of messes up her situation, because she's going to be conceiving a child and she's already engaged to be married to another man. She's already espoused to Joseph. And so this conception is going to be scandalous in the eyes of her friends and family, and could even cost her her life. They could stone her for being unfaithful to Joseph. Even Joseph ponders, "What should I do? What am I supposed to do?" But the Lord told him, said, "Don't be afraid to take her to be your wife." And he knows how this looks, but he's going to not put her away, but he's going to marry her anyway. Put simply, the reason that Mary was chosen is because she was made for that moment. This was not a spur-of-the-moment decision by God. He didn't look at his calendar and say, we got to make an announcement tonight. Let's go find somebody. He knew her from her mother's womb. The scripture tells us that before we were born, before we were formed in the womb, God knows all about us. She was going to carry the Lamb of God, the Lamb which scripture says was slain from the foundation of the world. And Mary was part of that plan. She simply was made for that moment. She was going to carry the Savior, the Redeemer, the Healer, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Mary was made for this moment. God sent the angel, told her what she was about to experience, who she would give birth to, and she simply says, "Be it unto me according to your word." She was made for this moment, the mother of our Lord and Savior. God did not make a mistake by choosing Mary. Gabriel did not show up at the wrong address. Mary was made for that moment. We see this pattern time and time again in Scripture. People who have played such a crucial role in the history of the world and even in our own lives and our faith. Rahab the harlot. It was no accident that she was born in Jericho, that she still lived there. It was no accident that the spies found her house and her rooftop, and that she hid them from the men of the city, because Rahab would end up being saved from the destruction of her city and would go on to marry in to Israel. And if you look at what a lot of scholars say, she actually marries one of the two spies. And now she is going to be found in the lineage of this precious little baby that we just talked about being born. Or you could maybe look at Ruth, the Moabitess, who had no inheritance in Israel and was already married to someone from Israel, but lost her husband, lost her father-in-law. And in the midst of tragedy and death and famine, she cleaves to her mother-in-law. And she hangs on to her and says, where you go, I'll go. And your people will be my people and your God will be my God. And Ruth was born for that moment. Even in the midst of tragedy, God knew she's got to get to Judah. So she's got to get to where she can meet Boaz and can be married. And she finds herself now in the lineage of Christ the Lord. Maybe you could look at Esther. That's the most famous one, I think. We know this saying that she was made for this moment of time. But while destruction was all around and while her people were in jeopardy of being annihilated, the scripture says that she was made, she was born for this, she was made for this moment. She was put in the palace for such a time as this so that her people could be spared. Time and time again, God has people. He has a plan and he uses them to fulfill this plan. People made for the moment. Job would say it like this in Job 23 and 14, for he, which is God, performs the thing that is appointed for me. And many such things are with him. Let me tell you, God has got a plan for your life. You are made precisely for the moment that you are in. Everyone you come in contact with, God knows whether you will speak to them or not. God knows every interaction, every word we say. If he knows the very numbers of hairs upon our head, he knows our very next thought. He knows our very next step. He knows what we will do and what we won't do. But I will tell you this, that God puts you on the planet and you are still alive today for such a time as this. You are made for the moment that you're in. I don't care if there's destruction going on around you. I don't care if you can't quite understand this purpose that God has right now. It will be shown to you if you will stick with him. If you could be like Mary and say, let it be according to your word. Just let it happen in my life just like you said, God. You said that when I was filled with the Spirit, I would receive power and I would have that power and I could be a witness unto you. You told me that there were things that you did that I'm going to do and greater things shall we do. You said you needed laborers for the harvest. Let me tell you, you were washed in the blood and filled with the Spirit because you were made for this moment. Stop counting yourself out. It would have been easy for Mary to say, I'm just a young little girl, as many other little girls out here. You know, Moses tried to get out of his job. Oh, Lord, I'm slow of speech. And you know, get my brother Aaron. Just let him do it. I'm not the one. And oh, God didn't like that. Didn't I make the mouth that speaks? Didn't I make the ears that hear? Didn't I make all these things? And he knew he wasn't making a mistake by calling Moses. And he did not make a mistake by calling you. He did not make a mistake by filling you with his Spirit. He didn't say, whoops, accidentally spilt some on that one, but I guess they'll be all right. No, let me tell you, he filled you for a purpose because you have a purpose and you were made for the moment that you're in. And it's time that we put our hand to the plow and stop looking back, wondering, did God make a mistake by calling me, and just get busy doing the work of the Lord. Because we were made for this moment. We were made for this. God knew. God knew everything that you would do. That's right. He's seen everything you've done. He's seen all the places you went. He heard every word you said. He saw every act, whether you want him to or not. He knows every single detail about your life, and yet he still chose to die for your sins. He still chose to wash you in his blood. He still chose to fill you with his Spirit because he knew that I need laborers for the harvest, and this world will still be going on in 2024, and somebody needs to wake up and realize I was made for the moment right now. December the 22nd, 2024. I'm supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be in the work of the kingdom. I'm part of the body of Christ. There ain't nothing being self-righteous about that. God baptized you into the body by his Spirit. Oh, you ought to clap your hands and say, thank God I'm made for this moment. Jesus told his disciples, I'm building a church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, let me tell you, honey, you and I are the church of the living God. And we got some battles to fight and we got some rows to hoe and we got some people to catch. We got some fishing to do and we were made for this moment. You want me to tell you how I know the church will be successful? Because we were made for it. God designed it, built it, framed it, did all of it, put everything we need in it, gave us the Spirit and all the gifts that come with it. He gave us everything that we need to be successful. So quit saying, I can't do it. Quit saying, it must not be me. Honey, it is you. You might just be the little boy with a bag of rocks that shows the rest of God's people how to fight a giant. It just might be you. Because you and I are the church, the blood-bought, the redeemed, and we were made for this moment. The church has not seen its greatest day because the church has yet to wake up and realize what they can do with the power of the Holy Ghost in their life. Oh, we sing about it, and we preach about it, and we dream about it, but we have not yet experienced the fullness of what God has for the church. There's no way we've seen it all. There's no way we're even close yet because what I read in the scripture, what I see that they did, we haven't done yet. And he said, we'll do those things and greater things shall we do. There's things coming, but the church is going to stand. There's things coming that we're going to win because we were made for this moment. Oh, come on, somebody lift your hands and love him for just a moment. I know it's Noel, it's Christmas time, but oh, whatever. Let me tell you, we were made for this moment. We need to understand it. We need to know our value and our importance to the kingdom. You need to know your value and your importance to your church. Sometimes you can't help when you're not here. Understand it. Sometimes things happen and you can't make it. Understand it. But we've got to stop making conscious decisions to just lay out of church. Whew. I better say that one more time. I didn't get near enough amens with that. We've got to stop making a conscious decision because we feel like we don't matter. Because I don't have a title. Because I don't get to do this or I don't get to do that or this or nobody said hi to me last week. Or what. You were made for this moment. And guess what? We're all flesh and blood, and we all got other stuff going on in our life. And sometimes we might just get a little carnal and forget to say, how you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? And maybe we didn't mean to do it, but we did anyway. That doesn't mean I don't love you. It doesn't mean I don't value you. And it doesn't mean that it's time for you to resign and walk out of the church. You've got to see your value. When you're not here, you are missed because you're supposed to be here. If you woke up one morning and looked down and four of your fingers were gone, hey, what's going on? We just thought we'd take a walk. You didn't need, well, I'm right-handed. Where'd you go? I can't grab my coffee cup. I can't pick my pen up. Where'd you go? We're going to take a day off. You'll be all right for a day without your fingers. You know how much trouble that would cause you? You couldn't write nothing. You couldn't do the things you normally do. You're like, that's just one day. Yeah, but I missed you. And we miss you when you're not here. We miss you when you can't make it. I understand it. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you have things that are unavoidable. Can't be here. Get that. But we've got to stop surrendering to being complacent, to just saying, okay, whatever, they'll be all right without me. No, we won't. Listen, the church is going to go on. The church is not going to, if I stop coming, the church ain't going to stop growing. If I quit preaching, the church ain't going to stop. Don't ever think the cog that runs the machine. We're not. But we are missed when we're not there because God called us and the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And God's not sorry that he called you, but he expects us to get busy with it. Do what we're supposed to do. Know your value. Know your importance. Here's little old Mary, little old girl, and she goes, be it unto me just as you said. And now all nations are going to call me blessed. Woo! Who are you again? Mary. Just Mary. Just little old Mary. Sweet little Mary. Sweet little girl. And there she is. And her life is changed forever. She doesn't understand it. I don't know how this could be happening. But God knew how it could be happening. And you're just thinking, I don't know how this could be happening in my life. How can this be coming to pass? Because if she couldn't understand, you're going to have a baby. Whoa, wait a second. I'm young, but I understand some things. And some things went on, so I don't know what you're talking about. So he says, see, you're still carnal. I'm trying to tell you, and he says, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Let me tell you, God is trying to get you out of your flesh and into the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Come on, somebody. He's trying to let you know that, no, what's going to be accomplished in your life won't be by natural things, but it will be by the power of the Holy Ghost. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's how it's going to happen. Amen. And so if you can't understand it, even Nicodemus, it's such a parallel to Nicodemus. Born again, how can a man be born again? Can he enter the second time to his mother's womb? Got to be born of water and of the Spirit. He was telling them about that, of the spiritual birth. So quit trying to frame it into your little carnal world and understand that God's got bigger plans for you because you were made for this moment. Woo! Oh my. Why me? Why me, Lord? You know, I used to say that. I came into the church. I wasn't raised in church. You know, in this truth, I went to church some as a child, a young person, but I believed in God, but didn't serve God, you know. Did a lot of things that I wish I could forget. Did a lot of things I wish God didn't know. And I would pray sometimes and go, God, why? There's got to be somebody else. And he said, no. There could be somebody else, but you were made for this moment. I called you because I needed you. I called you because I knew who you could reach. I called you because I knew what you would say. I called you because I knew what you could do if you would just let me lead you. It'll interrupt your life. Might even cause some eyebrows to be raised. May cause some people to walk away from you. A lot of people didn't want much to do with Mary and Joseph in this time because they didn't want to be connected with her little faux pas. But you got to understand a greater purpose is being fulfilled. The presence of trouble does not mean God got it wrong. I don't understand what happened. I started going to church and it's like, everything's falling apart. It'd do that. Because you can't fit both. You can't have them both. When God starts moving in, he starts taking the trash out. Yeah. Yeah. And so you understand why your world's shaking. It's because God's saying, we got to get rid of some stuff. But that doesn't mean he got it wrong. Think about Mary, already engaged. Rahab considered, called a harlot. In the middle of a city being destroyed, Esther, her people being persecuted, Ruth, loss of life, to lead to new life. Jesus said that had to happen. You'd have to lose this life to save it. But they were all there for the moment. And they were all there and impacted history. They were all there and their stories inspire faith in our lives. They were made for the moments that they were in. They have brought change because of what they did and what they were part of and what they did in their lives. It has changed millions of people. So if you want to stand with me this morning, I knew I wouldn't be very long, but I wanted to just give you something to chew on over the holidays as we get ready to head to a new year. I want you to understand this and grasp this. I want you to do like Mary did. I want you to embrace it. You got to believe the will of God for your life. You got to embrace the will of God for your life. You were made for this moment. I can look across this room and I see a lot of soul winners and workers for the kingdom. You know, pastor sits in a different place, doesn't make him better than anybody. God puts him in a place to watch. You know, a shepherd knows his sheep. He realizes that's one that's going to do this, and that's one that's going to do that. He learns them. And I see it in a lot of our kids, our young people, even some of our older saints. You're not over, you're not done, you're not washed up or finished. Not a prop in the house of the Lord. You're part of this thing. Until you take your last breath, you're part of it. So you don't retire from it. You might retire from a position in your church, but you don't retire from the kingdom or for kingdom work. Your light will shine until it's out. You know, even with that, a lot of saints, they're like, you know, when a star, it says a star can burn out, but you can still see the light for, because it takes so long. And that's the way the saints of God are. Mary's light, her life ended a long time ago, but her star is still shining, that light's still shining, because we read about it. Who will you impact? Who will you reach? Who you share that testimony with? You're talking to someone and you hear them telling you things and you're like, I know exactly what to say. Will you open your mouth and say it? Because you were made for that moment. Divine connections, divine interactions, things where you just happen. Oh, man, it's so weird. It wasn't weird to God. He knew. That's why I made you wait an extra minute at that red light. So you would be in that store right at that time, right when that person said, I'm going through something. My wife just met a lady at Walmart, and we're going to be helping out with some things for her and her kids, holidays, just things. But it was a divine appointment. And she met her and was able to speak to her and tell her things about the church. And you know, who knows where it'll lead. But my wife could have just said, okay, nice to meet you, and kept going. But she took time to stop and even give her a phone number to call and reach and do it. And who knows who will reach? Because each one of us living and breathing right now, we're made for the time we're in. And it's not time to give up, throw in the towel, walk away. It's time to do what God called us for. So who will you impact? What will you do for the kingdom? How will you respond? And God says, this is your time. Because I promise you, there will be a performance. Scripture said that he which begun a good work in you will perform it. There'll be a performance. God wants it to happen. So many times we quote this scripture, and I say this a lot, but we need to believe it. Jeremiah 29:11. The Lord saying of his people, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. He knew the thoughts he had toward Mary, and he sent Gabriel to relay it. He knows the thoughts he thinks toward you, so he gave you a pastor so he could tell you. Thoughts of peace, not evil, give you an expected end. God got something for you to do. You were made for the moment that you're in. You were made for this moment. Believe it and embrace it. And see what God will do. Amen. Could we lift our hands for just a moment together? I want you to just close your eyes, lift your hands for a moment. Just listen for just a moment. I want you to believe what was said to you today across this pulpit. I want you to believe what was said from the scripture today, that God has something for you. I want you to hear what the Spirit is saying to you right now. that you were made for the moment you're in. You were put in this place for the kingdom. You were put here. You're part of the puzzle. You're part of the building of the, right here in Winterville right now, and God's got a purpose for you. You were made for this moment. Tell somebody, you'll be surprised. Pray with somebody, you'll be surprised. Just have compassion on somebody, you'll be surprised at what a difference it makes. So would you just lift your hands today and begin to pray for just a moment and say, Lord, I believe. You got to say it. There's nothing wrong with saying it. I believe I was made for this moment. I believe that if you feel like you're new in church, I was made for this moment. If you've been in church for a while, Lord, I believe I'm still around for this moment because you've got something for me to do. Lord, you're not done with me yet. You're not through with me. And there's going to be a performance of those things. You filled me with your spirit. You called me out of darkness. You, Lord, love me. And you've given me purpose in this life. And it's not over. I'm not done. There's still things yet for me to do. There's still things yet for me to see. Oh, God, I receive it. I'm going to embrace that promise. Be it unto me according to thy word. Be it unto me according to thy word, oh, God. Oh, that I will be a witness, to the uttermost parts of the earth. I will be a witness, Lord, to all my friends and my family, the people I meet. I will be a witness for the kingdom, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Clap your hands real good to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Receive the word of the Lord this morning.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.